Okay, Pentecost is the Greek word for this particular season in the Hebrew calendar of festivals. It takes place 50 days after the Passover, and that's why it's called Pentecost from the Greek for 50. And it is a celebration in Hebrew called Shavuot. And Shavuot is the Jewish feast day or holiday that commemorates the single most important event in Israel's history. And we don't want to think about Passover as the single most important day in Hebrew history. And it's very important indeed. In fact, it's one of the most important and certainly one of the most well-known of the Hebrew festival days, feast days. But Shavuot is important because it is considered by our sisters and brothers in the Jewish community. Shavuot is important because it commemorates the giving of the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It commemorates the giving of the Torah to Moses at Mount Sinai by God. It commemorates the giving of the law, and not just the Ten Commandments, although the Ten Commandments is extremely important in the Torah. And during the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, one of the things that they do is they meet and they study the Torah, and they study especially the Ten Commandments and how they work themselves out in the people's lives. But Shavuot is a time of commemorating, of celebrating, of remembering and giving thanks for the giving of the Torah, the totality of the law, the totality of the way that God has for God's people to live. This theological understanding and of the celebration of Shavuot, however, evolved over time. Prior to this understanding, prior to understanding that it is to celebrate and commemorate the giving of the Torah, Shavuot was a time to celebrate and give thanks for the first fruits of the harvest. Prior to the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD and the dispersion of the Hebrew people throughout the eastern half of the Roman Empire in a forced diaspora after 70 AD, when they were thrown out of Israel and not allowed to return, when the Romans expelled them, prior to that, when the temple still existed, farmers would, from Passover to Shavuot, for that 50-day period, bring the first fruits of their fields, particularly barley leaves, sheaves. They would bring their barley sheaves in as an offering to God, a first fruits offering from their field, so that they would have good harvest throughout the rest of the growing season. So it was a celebration, a commemoration of the first fruits of the gifts of God in the harvest. It makes sense that this celebration of the first fruits of the gifts of the harvest would then come to be understood, especially outside of Israel during the diaspora, would come to be understood as the giving of the Torah, because the Torah is in many ways the first fruits gift of God, the first fruits gift of God's will, of God's mind, of God's law for the people, with the Ten Commandments being principal in that first fruits gift. And it was at Pentecost, when people had come from all over the eastern half of the Roman Empire, it demonstrates the fact that even prior to the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD, the Jews had been traveling throughout the eastern half of the empire and throughout the western half as far as Spain. Jews were spreading in commerce, spreading in culture, spreading in influence as people from the east moved to the west of the Mediterranean basin in the Roman Empire. And they would come back to Israel occasionally for the various feast days, for the various celebrations. And so people from all over the empire were present. People from all over the Roman Empire had come back to Judea for the celebration of Shavuot. And this is the setting in which this event takes place. There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven in Jerusalem that day. And the disciples who had been hiding out, the disciples after Jesus was raised from the dead, Jesus met with the disciples, they learned from him, they heard him preach, they laughed with him, they cried with him, they ate with him. He taught them what he wanted them to do. And then after 40 days, we say that he ascended into heaven, whatever that means. He was no longer present with them after that 40-day period. And they were cowering still in fear of the religious authorities, worried about being caught, worrying about being punished for following the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And then in the midst of the Shavuot celebration, the disciples and the other members of the fledgling church who were meeting experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the breath of God, the outpouring of what the Hebrew calls the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, the presence of God upon them. They experienced God's presence anew and afresh in ways that were beyond their expectation, beyond their understanding, and beyond the understanding of all the people who were there. And they opened their mouths and they began to speak of the mysteries of the presence of God, of the mysteries of the resurrection of Christ, of the mysteries of the coming of the Messiah, and what that means for the people of God in the here and in the now, in their day and in their age. And people from all over the empire heard them speaking, and they understood what they were saying in a miraculous way, for they were speaking in the languages of all the people there, speaking by power of the Holy Spirit in ways that people from all over the empire, Jews who lived all over the empire, could understand in their own languages. It's an interesting list that's given here. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, folk to the east, and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, that's up in what we call Turkey today, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, in other words, down into Africa and along the southern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and visitors from Rome, that's the capital of the empire, both Jews and proselytes, not just Jews, but also people who were following Yahweh Elohim, learning the Torah, growing in the faith of the Jewish people, but had yet to come into full membership in the Jewish faith. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, from all over the empire, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, these people were proclaiming the good news of God. And it caused these visitors in Rome who spoke other languages to try to figure out, what is it they're hearing? What is it they're experiencing? How is this possible? It's a wonder. But others, they just laughed at them. They're filled with a bunch of booze, a bunch of cheap rot gut, a bunch of new wine. They sneered at them. And I love Peter's response. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." Really? "It's too early to be drunk," he says. "It may be 5 o'clock somewhere, but that's not what's happening here." This is the presence and the power of God in our midst. In these last days, he quotes from the prophet, "In these last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." The calling of God is not bounded by gender or by age or by experience. These Galileans were not educated rabbis in multiple languages and theology. These Galileans were common folk, people who fished for a living and made tools and furniture for a living, or sometimes worked as tax collectors for a living, farmers for a living, not highly educated, not highly respected, not rabbis, not priests, but common everyday folk. And yet God uses them to proclaim the mighty workings of God's power. Just as God uses all of us to proclaim the mighty workings of God's power, the mighty workings of God's power that is manifested to us in the life and the ministry, the teachings and the preachings, the healings and the giving of life that comes from Jesus the Christ. We are all given the gift, the opportunity to express through words and deeds the love of God to our neighbor, the love of God to all. And that's what these disciples are doing. And the people are sneering at it, or they're wondering at it, they're trying to understand what's going on here. This mystery is beyond their comprehension, and yet it could be seen, it could be heard, that God was working in their midst. And in this event, the church, as we understand it, the church that exists to this day in all denominations, in all affirmations of faith, the church that exists to today came into existence with the power of the Holy Spirit in and among them. Sometimes we think, oh no, that church began on that day. This congregation is coming up on its 100th birthday as a congregation in just a few years. Or the United Methodist Church was founded in 1968. Or the Methodist Church before it was founded in 1939. Or the Methodist Episcopal Church was founded before that in through splits in 1844. Or the Methodist Episcopal Church was founded in 1789. We think, oh my goodness, we were founded at a certain time or a certain place. The Church of England was founded when Henry VIII wanted to divorce Catherine of Aragon so he could marry Anne Boleyn. We think the church was founded at certain times and certain places throughout history, but it's not. The church is founded, the church is established, the church was formed, and the church has grown from this very event when the Holy Spirit of God came to be amongst us, selected common folk, as God is always about selecting just common folk, good people, to speak about the mighty deeds of God. And this event, the gift of the Holy Spirit to the early church, is the first fruits of what would come down through the centuries and across now 2,000 years of time. It's the first fruits of God's gift of life, God's gift of health, God's gift of hope for the future. As we celebrate the harvest of God's gift of life in us through the gift of the first fruits of the Spirit in Pentecost, may we continue today, 2,000 years later almost, to proclaim the mighty workings of God in the love of God we have received in Jesus, the love of God that calls us to be a part and to welcome all into the family of faith. Let us truly proclaim that good news and be about sharing the first fruits of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Let us share, let us love, let us give, let us welcome, let us include and affirm God's love for all. God's love which came as a first fruits offering at Pentecost. God's love which comes to us every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.